Coming down the aisle at a combined weight of 436 pounds, the team of Jeffrey Martin, Brian Berga, the Jersey Wrecking Crew.
I am Jeff Martin, alongside the trendsetter, Brian Berga, and you're listening to the High Spot Podcast. For 7 long years, we've been looking for a way to be heard. We've been looking for a platform, and now we finally found it. The High Spot Podcast. Follow us on Twitter at High Spot Podcast. Available on iTunes, Snapchat, Instagram, and our Facebook page. Recapping Money in the Bank. Brian, how you doing, man? And this is going to be a focal point of today's show because, first of all, this song hasn't been in my head since last Sunday. But, you know, we get a chance to critique the debut of Maria and Mike Kanellis, which is maybe not controversial, but a lot of people talking about it now. But, Trendsetter, how you doing, man? How's your week gone? Good to be back with you, buddy.
Good to be back here, too. I thought we were, like, opening an 80s love song movie. I don't know what the hell was going on with that, but definitely a catchy tune, and you're right. It has been stuck in your head, and you've been humming it everywhere you've gone, and I've hung out with you for a good portion of the weekend, and now it's stuck in my head, so I hate you even more now.
In a manly way, that describes our friendship.
I have no idea what you're talking about right now. How does that describe our friendship?
Because it's the greatest
Whoever
friendship.
Whoever said we had a friendship to begin with.
Oh, so you're just doing this podcast with me just because, you know, you feel sorry for me? Is that what it is? Huh? Because I have Carlos Toro, okay? Okay, we've become best friends.
Oh, yeah,
so
you made that perfectly clear. Why don't you do the show with Carlos Toro? How about that? How about
well,
you?
Well, he's in Puerto Rico, so, I mean, that'd be kind of tough to do, but we do have Skype, so that might be possible. So your
right,
time
so
here
I guess
on the show.
I guess I'm no longer needed here. Right,
No, I need you, buddy. How you been, man? How's everything going?
Not bad. Man, it seems like every week I just say the same thing over and over again, which is kind of true, though. A lot of stuff happens during the course of the week, and we wish you could bring this to you every single day, but in the span of a couple days, since Jeff and I have normal 9-to-5 jobs, we have to kind of bring it all together here too, but again, recapping a lot of stuff that happened over the weekend, just kind of excited to get right into it. I mean, this was a huge deal for Money in the Bank, and for the mere fact that they made their debut there was amazing. The crowd was not expecting that, which give kudos to the WWE because for the most part at least, you know when things like this are going to happen, so it's very difficult to kind of catch the crowd by surprise. So a nice surprise outcome. I wouldn't say it was a home run. The song was a home
run.
Got
people talking, at least.
Yeah, I guess any publicity is good publicity, I guess.
Well, I mean, they started off on a, I would say, okay start, but we'll get into that, too. So, of course, Mike and Maria Kanellis, very interesting in Money in the Bank. So, I mean, I think I like that the show is towards the end of the week because it gives us a chance to be able to talk about Raw and SmackDown and, you know, a little bit of NXT and a lot of stuff going on. And we were talking last week how this summer is going to be, like, action-packed and, you know, we're starting to talk about the Floyd Mayweather-Conor McGregor. We have so much going on. There's still WrestlePro coming up in July. And we went to a show, Pro Wrestling Magic, this past week where caught up with our good friend Cody Rhodes. And
our good friend.
I believe that he is one of the nicest guys in this business and, you know, you could just see on Saturday, he took the time out to say hi to all the fans, give us a little video message for our moody barber, Will.
Who wasn't so moody after he got that message.
No, made his day when he woke up and saw it. And I think all in all, you kind of egged me on to go. I wasn't really, you know, looking to go. My Saturday night was kind of just like maybe
let's be honest, I had to
stay
drag
home,
you there.
Sulk. But no, you actually kicked me in the butt and said, hey, we're going to go. And you wanted to go see Jordynne Grace.
Yes, of course.
Which,
who wouldn't want to see Jordynne Grace?
Which is the first time she was anywhere close to where, you know, we are in here in Jersey. Yeah.
And I definitely wanted to take advantage of it because I wanted to reach out to her and extend the invitation to the High Spot Podcast
tour. Yeah, and she was ready, willing, and gable to do so. So we'd love to have her on in the future. So, you know, just, again, great person, too.
And Rachel, let's not forget also Rachel Ellering, too. I was a huge fan of her work as well, and I seem to love all the females. I mean, can you blame me, Jeff? These are gorgeous women.
You are a chick magnet. You're the one, man, because...
Or maybe I just run towards the chicks.
Weeks ago, it was Russell Pro. And now this week, Pro Wrestling Magic. So you definitely are the trendsetter. You're definitely getting your name around, and it's all about making connections.
Just making those sacrifices, Jeff. You know, if I got to do that for the show, you know, that's what I got to do.
So all in all, it was a good show. Very surprised. Exceeded my expectations.
Yeah. And then to see Cody there, and you know, he's done it for WrestlePro. He stayed late for the fans to give them, you know, a picture, to shake their hand and acknowledge them and to show his appreciation towards them. You're right, Jeff. I mean, I was a fan to begin with of Cody Rhodes when he first started in WWE. Now to have, say, in a way, gotten to know him a little bit outside in terms of the good quality of guy he is, how could it be that difficult not to root for this guy? And like, I look at him and I see the stuff he does on the ring. I see the kind of look he has. I'm like, why couldn't WWE do anything with him?
Well, he's getting a chance to, you know, just show more of his character. I think he's just being himself, which I think WWE was going to let him do because of the whole Stardust and the Cody gimmick. So
yeah,
it's been very successful. And he has a chance. We'll talk about this later, too. This is a whole Money in the Bank recap by us, and so this is a whole show. You're going to hear us for about an hour.
Yeah, sorry about that.
You know, he has a chance in the next couple of days to do something that, you know, you thought in WWE, wow, it'd be great to do, but he has a chance to make history and not only become the Ring of Honor champion at Best in the World, but become the IWGP heavyweight champion and beat Okada, something that Kenny Omega has failed to do. So you're talking about a very big week coming up for Cody Rhodes, and we'll see what happens. But I think if he does those two things, he's just going to skyrocket to be one of the most sought-after guys. Because believe it or not, he's not signed to Ring of Honor. He's not fully signed. So he is a free agent.
Oh, yeah.
So this is going to be...
Or as they call it, an independent contract.
Yeah, so he is going to be, without a doubt, very sought-after. And his name is just going to... He's going to be up there with Omega as the top guys now in the independent scene. So we'll see what happens to Cody Rhodes. But Pro Wrestling Magic really, again, I will say they really did a great job. So now I can actually put Russell Pro and Pro Wrestling Magic up there as one of the two best companies here in the Northeast.
Yeah, and like I said, it was a pleasant surprise that we went to go see a good show and got to, you know, obviously speak to Cody, speak to a few of the talent there, extend the invitation, and it was just a great experience, and it just showcases to me, Jeff, and I've discussed this with you off air. We haven't really dived too much into it, not that we will now because we have a lot to cover, but it just makes me, it reestablishes and reaffirms my thought process in this, that, you know, everybody talks about the performance center now and the state-of-the-art equipment there and the athletes they have there, but to me, what makes a star, what makes somebody that talented or that worth the money that you're going to spend on them is the fact that the independent scene is still a viable option and you still could be a successful person, because when you go do the tours in Japan, Mexico, Europe, up in Canada and in the United States, all that's going to help you even more, I feel, unless you develop bad habits, I don't know, but I still think that's an untapped resource right now.
And kudos go out to Donovan Dijak, JT Dunn, and Keith Lee, who it's the first time we've seen these three in action, and they really did a great job too. So
definitely,
those are other guys that we have to give kudos to for an amazing matches. But you know, Pro Wrestling Magic, if it's out there, it's in near your town, definitely go check it out. I think we, you know, we'll go back there again. And the funny part is, just as like who runs the promotion is funny, because we actually interacted with him at WrestleMania and we didn't even know, and you were the one that actually remembered his face. And how could you not, after the stories from WrestleMania?
Oh, yeah.
With him and, you know, having to get up through all the important matches to go get beer or the bathroom. But it's so funny. That's how we knew him. And you were like, hey, I know you're that guy. He was that guy down in WrestleMania.
Definitely. It was good. And it just shows you how, you know, how much of a small world in our business, if you talk about broadcasting, it's such a small world. In the world of professional wrestling, I mean, we talk about Japan, Europe, all the places I had mentioned before. It is a small world in terms of it's who you know. And again, we're all wrestling fans at heart, so it was just great to bump into him, and hopefully we can have him on the show as well. And like I said, just an all-in-all great weekend in terms of, you know, doing things we didn't expect to do, because basically we're going to just kind of be lazy couch potatoes. So I'm glad we were able to do that, see another independent promotion, do good, and market themselves well and hopefully do good in the future. Like I said, I think the future, as much as people want to talk about the Performance Center, I think still think there's some untapped talent in the indie scene right now, and not just the East Coast, but everywhere around the United States and, you know, all over the world that need to be looked at more. And I would love it if, like, we were just scouts and we would just go to these places just to scout talent.
Yeah, that'd be great, amazing to be a scout. The life of a scout. But again, they should be back, I think, in our area in September for another show. So yep, we're definitely going to make the time out to go check them out again. Yesterday was very interesting. You know, I don't know if we're talking business or anything like that, but it was good to hang out with Dave Destruction, hang out at his crib or his palatial estate, and just take a dip in the pool. It was pretty good. His man pad. But good to see Dave the last couple of days. He's been so integral in our relationship with WrestlePro. Definitely want to hit up that one in September, too, in Rywind in New Jersey. It's their version of like WrestleMania, so that should be interesting.
Well, more than that, it was just a chance to hang out with Dave because we had hung out with him a really long time. And we got to
talk some business. And
Chris Payne was there, too, and just kind of, you know, back then, and not to age or to date ourselves here, but, you know, the days of high school, you're hanging with your buddies are long and gone. So the ability to hang out with buddies and guys that you think are good spirited guys and just lay out and just enjoy a day off, it was nice to catch up with Dave and Chris.
Definitely good guys, man. It's good to make some friends. And, you know, now we have a place to, you know,
to lounge for the summer.
For the summertime. So thanks for the invite, Dave Destruction. You're really a really class guy. So thank you a lot. And of course, since his podcast, Destruction 101, I think he interviewed Chris Payne in his last episode. So look forward to that. He is also a former guest here on the High Spot podcast.
Yes, definitely.
So he's going to catch up with Chris Payne. And so, Bri, we're in the era now of sports being a 24/7 thing and it being like just all year round now.
Yeah, because of social media.
A lot of people don't understand that sports is now 24/7. There is no break in sports. And we are just coming off NHL, NFL, and NBA seasons.
Yeah, getting ready for the NFL.
And, yeah, getting ready for the NFL. And all the talk now is the draft and, you know, for the NBA and the NHL. It just ended like last week. And now, you know, the talk is free agency. Where's this guy going? LeBron might go next year. So it's crazy, man. So sports has just become 24/7, 365, and just the whole buzz, and especially here in the area with the whole Kristaps Porzingis might get traded. You never know, because we're on the precipice of the NBA draft. And then us as the only $5 fans that I know with the Devils on Friday night, and it's going to be interesting. We could be in a cranky mood or a good mood come next week.
I'd say it'd be a little bit of both if you're a Devils fan. But you're right. I mean, when it comes to sports, it's all year round. It never stops. As soon as you win a championship, the next day or maybe 5 hours later, you're thinking, all right, what are you going to do to repeat or to get back in this position all over again? There's never a rest period, which, you know, I kind of understand because you and I, we always do the daily grind. But at the same time, it's also a little disheartening for me because as much as you and I love doing this podcast and bringing out the content for our audience that listens to the show and supports us, and we thank you for that. And by the way, catch us on Twitter at High Spot Podcast. It's the feeling that they're not enjoying the journey. It's more about the destination. Don't enjoy the journey. I'm trying to, as much as I can with you, buddy, enjoy the journey here because you know what? It goes by really fast. And sometimes when you're in that quick, frenetic pace like you and I doing the daily grind, we forget that we sit down here and we talk about wrestling. It's not a bad deal.
Yeah, a lot of other stuff also revolves around it, too. So, one question for you, and just I just want one word answer.
Okay.
Nico or Nolan?
Nico.
Nico, right?
Yeah.
Yeah? We'll find out.
We'll find out.
Keep our fingers crossed.
I wouldn't be surprised if they pick a defenseman.
At first, I wanted Nolan, but then I just keep watching the YouTube videos, and we'll keep watching the other guy, Nico, and now I'm like, Nico. I could change my mind by tomorrow.
Isn't this typical Devils, though, Jeff? Like, last year, they're destined number one selections. Like, this guy's the number one pick. No questions asked. The 1 year now, they have the number one pick. There's no straight.
There's no clear shot.
Clear shot, number one draft
pick. No game changer. No, you know, can change a franchise in a dime like last year and, you know, like a Sidney Crosby or Austin Matthews, you know.
And not to bore our audience talking about NHL here, but what do you think about the new revamped jerseys?
A lot of people are making such a big deal. It's not that significant. It's funny, though, that the Devils actually put on their Twitter, we're not a fashion company, so they kind of put the little, emoji, but the little symbols of a smiley face going, what can I do? So, I mean, guys, get over it. It's a freaking jersey. They didn't change the whole symbol. They just changed a little bit to pay tribute to the actual history of the Devils. But enough Devil talk, because we don't want to lose our listeners. We're here to talk WWE and everything in pro wrestling and MMA. But check this out, dude. The best news is that Mauro Ranallo is back in the WWE.
Yes.
He doesn't have to deal with the SmackDown crap and all that stuff up on the WWE roster. Triple H, I think, definitely had a hand in this, and now he becomes the new voice of NXT. And starting next week's set of tapings, Mauro Ranallo takes his proper position where he should have always been, and that is in NXT. And the funny thing is, on our show on NXT Weekly that you can catch on Twitter at NXT Weekly and on the Fans Podcast, follow him on Twitter at the Fans Podcast, is we've said it so many times that ever since Corey Graves left the announce team, there's been something missing. And now we, and, you know, we love, you know, we don't love, but we have no problems with Todd Phillips. We don't have any problem with him. And we don't have a problem with Nigel McGuinness. Percy Watson, I don't know why there's a three-man booth.
Who?
Exactly. Mauro Ranallo is going to add so much to this already great show.
Well, is he replacing Todd Phillips?
That's what's going
to
happen.
Okay, yeah, and I have nothing against Todd Phillips, but I've tried to give him a shot. You know, I've listened to him during the SmackDown shows he used to do before Ranallo came on board, and then kind of bumped him off of SmackDown. He went straight to NXT. But, you know, when he went to NXT,
and
Todd,
this is how much we like Todd Phillips,
had
Tom
Corey
Phillips.
Graves to what?
It's Tom Phillips or Tom Phillips or Todd Phillips?
I thought it was Todd.
Todd, yeah. See, that's how much we like him.
Yes. Or like Jericho, or messing up his name on purpose, yeah. Basically. But no, with that, I'm just so excited because you're missing that aspect with Corey Graves that, you know, no offense, that Nigel McGuinness really hasn't been able to do it. Nor granted, should he, because he's his own person. Percy Watson, you know, don't let the door hit you, man. Seriously. You know, no offense to him. And
no,
not
we're not
trying
saying
to be offensive.
No, he's being replaced. But.
No, but yeah, but I'm saying, like, I really wish it was just a two-man team. But Ronaldo is going to bring the energy, the enthusiasm that an NXT crowd wants and has, because who watches NXT? The die hardcore fans, and they're going to love him because he gives that type of enthusiasm. You know, every moment to him is a WrestleMania moment, and we just love that. I don't get tired of that because you need that for a brand like NXT, which they're going to be the next generation, and you're excited about these guys being moved up to the main roster. Ronaldo is definitely doing a great job, especially during the NXT takeovers.
Oh, he gets you excited, and of course, everyone knows that he did a great job with the Cruiserweight Classic, and this is where he belongs. NXT is the place. He doesn't have to deal. Now, he said on his Instagram and Facebook that whatever we read wasn't really the circumstances to why he left WWE. Who knows? The main thing is he's where he belongs. He's in the proper spot.
PR, that's all.
And look at the guy here. Not only is he now the voice of NXT, but he's going to be the voice of the McGregor and Mayweather fight.
Yeah,
that's awesome. This is a guy that... And it's an inspiration, man, because we've had, let's say, crappy weeks, crappy months, a crappy year, and we're thinking, is there a light at the end of the tunnel? And then here's a guy who had, you know, without a doubt, some stuff going on the last few months, yeah. And now he just turned it around 180 and is doing his thing and is getting the recognition that he deserves. So, I mean,
and
it's inspirational.
And it's just nice to see good things happen to good people. He seems like a really good-hearted guy. And like I said, it's nice to see it, and it's good for us fans to have him back because he does bring in that enthusiasm that you're talking about back to the, you know, the commentating team.
Now, Mauro Ranallo, check this out. How about this? Mauro Ranallo is, of course, the lead voice now for Showtime Boxing, and yep. He's going to cover the McGregor-Mayweather fight. I'm going to stumble on that eventually. I'm going to say McGregor or Mayweather eventually, but...
It's going to happen. We have enough time to mess it up.
We can combine the names McGregor.
There you go.
Interesting that Triple H went on TV and said that he would love for McGregor and Mayweather to show up on Raw so they get some airtime. Yeah. The WWE Universe obviously has a lot of listeners, watchers that watch WWE. I think Mauro Ranallo, I think, could be an olive branch to allow this to actually happen. Because beforehand, I was like, well, I mean, Mayweather's dealt with WWE before. He has respect for Triple H and the McMahons as a promoter.
So does McGregor.
So what do you think are the chances of this actually happening on Raw?
Well, I know you're so excited you can't even get the words out, Jeff. It would be exciting if that actually were to happen. Do I think it's going to? I'm not quite sure because I feel like right now, since it's really a smaller window in terms of the two training, that all they want to do is be focused on training and getting ready. In terms of the press conferences, they're going to be there. They're going to be the exciting thing that everybody's going to must watch. For them to visit the WWE or, for example, since
There you go. See?
It didn't take me a while to mess up. Right, exactly. It didn't take me that long. But for a guy like McGregor, who has gone out publicly and, you know, has talked about the WWE superstars and has no respect for them, thinks they're whiny babies and things like that, it would be nice to see him in that type of atmosphere in front of all the WWE superstars. But I don't think it's going to happen. I think it's just too small of a window for it to happen. If it did, great. And that, it wouldn't only benefit WWE, it would definitely benefit McGregor but and
you,
Mayweather.
But you were very yes and no. What would you say? I just said no, it wouldn't,
because it's too small of a window. Would I like to see it? Yes.
Storyline-wise, it'd be great for...
I'm not a politician, Jeff.
Storyline-wise, it'd be great for Enzo, who's been, you know, who's trying to start a beef up on Twitter with Conor McGregor. So that should be interesting if that does happen, whether you do something like that. But again, we'll get to Enzo coming up soon, but...
He's got his own problems now.
Last thing to ask you is, any problem with Seth Rollins being on the cover of 2K18? WWE.
No, no problem. I like the video. I like the intro.
Kind of nice to have a full time wrestler actually on the cover.
Yeah, have a full time wrestler there. And but again, I told you before, as excited as I am to see Seth Rollins on the cover of 2K18 for the WWE, I've kind of lost my enthusiasm for a guy like Seth Rollins right now, because I think he is a bona fide heel, true sense of the word. He's just great at doing that. And his whole transition to babyface to me has just been... I've been pretty sour in the whole journey of him, you know, asking for the audience to give him a second chance, and this whole cookie cutter, you gave me a second chance, you believe me, this is our cover.
Kind
I think
pandering,
it's just,
right? Pandering.
It's pandering. It's more like, oh, come on, Seth, that's not really you. You're just saying that now because that's what you're supposed to say as a babyface. So, yeah, I'm kind of sour on the whole babyface thing, but, you know, good for him. It's nice to have a full-timer on the cover finally.
So now we go to Money in the Bank. They have Great Balls of Fire coming up in a few weeks. We'll get into that too. But now when you come to Money in the Bank, five matches, one matchup on the kickoff show, and that was between Ryder and Mojo against Primo and Epico. And, you know, good to see Zack Ryder back in action. They get back to the winning ways with Mojo. So, you know, that's kind of what happened on the kickoff show. But now you get to the much anticipated Money in the Bank, the women's ladder match. And you know what? I'm glad I don't speak on emotion. I'm glad I kind of don't tweet out what I feel sometimes, although sometimes I know Brian tries to reach my hand and be like, no, don't tweet that out, or no, don't put that on Facebook. Don't let your emotions get the best of you.
I'm glad
Brian,
you said that. In terms of, like, I don't reach out for your hand. I reach out.
You reach out for the phone. Yeah. You know, reach out for the phone, like, you know, or at least the finger, and be like, no, don't send, you know, but... Yeah. Sometimes I am my own worst enemy.
Well, this is what you said before. It's probably good that we do have a couple of days to think about it and let it digest, because if we were to go on straight emotion, if we were to go right after Money in the Bank, we've been pretty pissed off.
There's two things, though. There's one negative about the whole thing.
One?
Let me see if, you know, we can agree or disagree here.
Okay.
I'm watching the match, and again, too short for, I think, what they've been given, especially when there's only five matches. So too short for the time that they've been given. I think that they didn't need to go with a lot of spots and use the ladders. I think they could have just done a lot of stuff outside the ring and, you know, done that to compensate, because you don't want the females getting hurt. You really don't want that. You don't want that to be a thing where they get hurt. Try to prevent injuries. But the issue is everyone is complaining that James Ellsworth went up to the top rope, not to the top rope, to the top of the ladder, grabbed the money in the briefcase, and then brought it down for Carmella, and then she becomes the Miss Money in the Bank, which a lot of people think too much, because I'm thinking storyline wise and I'm thinking, oh, this is bad because Ellsworth, really, there's no precedent for a guy going up there, anybody else reaching for the Money in the Bank and giving it to somebody else. But the fact that people are bringing up in this age that we live of political correctness, and everyone's saying the empowerment of women, and oh man, this looks so bad because the first ever Women's Money in the Bank, a man has to come up there and hand it over to the woman. I mean, that to me is one of the most ridiculous things, and that is looking way, way too much into it. I just think that booking was like, well, we got to get Ellsworth in it. We got to have a controversial ending, and then that's how it is. I was upset because I just didn't like the way the match was constituted. But everyone gets up in arms saying, oh, what a spit in the face to Money in the Bank. What a spit in the face to these ladies who work so hard. They got their time, but my main issue was that the match was too short. Your thoughts?
Yeah, well, it kind of contradicts it where you say they had their time. Yes, they had their moment, but the time in terms of the length of the match was not what I anticipated it to be. You were thinking there are only like so many, a handful of matches here. Like they
yeah,
have
40
to,
minutes, right?
40
they, minutes.
Yeah, they have to go long here, and they did it. And I kind of disagree with the fact that, you know, they were trying not to use spots with the ladder. What, you know, whether you agree that they should or shouldn't because you don't want them to get injured, but I'm thinking if you're going to say that the women are exactly like the men, then they should do some spots with the ladders. That's just that's what you get when you're in a ladder match for
Money
in the Bank.
That's a great point. That is a great point.
But if you're against that for the mere fact that you don't want them to get injured, fine. But it all just seemed like it was done at last minute, like nobody knew what they were doing. It was the equivalent of watching Becky Lynch and Alexa Bliss in a tables match, and all of them were just like trying to get to their positions and making sure they didn't miss their spots, and it just was completely unorganized. There was no flow to it. I know it's a chaotic type of match when you do ladder matches, but there's some type of psychology to it. I thought it was just completely done half-assed, and it was just it was a train wreck. It really was. And then have Ellsworth go up there and drop it. I get it. You want to give heat to Carmella. None of us thought Carmella was going to
win
it.
And at the end of the day, that's what all the heat was on Carmella and Ellsworth. And
exactly.
Who's the biggest heat getter?
And that's what Ellsworth. You wanted. But the mere fact that, hey, if the match had gone well and then that was the end spot, you can complain about the ending all you want. But again, it served its purpose. Like you said, it gave her heat.
We're missing.
But I think the chaoticness of the match, since it was the first ever, and the way they promoted it in the terms of the buildup, didn't live up to expectations.
That's what it is. That's what it was. Not the end result. I feel it's the match itself. It should have gone more. Hey, who's to disagree that they should have more spots with the ladders? That we can be argued. That's fine. But just the fact that they had such short time and then look a big cluster towards the end.
It's a huge cluster.
And then the end result is that booking wanted Ellsworth to get the heat on Carmella, which they did. And then she did a great job the next day, because when you're looking, not the next day, on Tuesday night, you're looking, wow, she had a great promo where she talked about being the Miss Money in the Bank and all the respect, and it's hers.
Yeah.
It did its job. It's just, I think that the match at the end of the day is what should be critiqued, but not the fact that,
I can understand,
oh, this
some
is horrible for women or the females. You know, I mean, that is just looking way too much into it.
And I've also heard some people say, too, that Carmella didn't deserve it. Now, whether she deserved it or not, I mean, hey, did Lana deserve a title match against Naomi? And we'll talk about that in a few. But, you know, Carmella, to me, in terms of all the time she spent in NXT and what she's done on the main roster, to me, in-ring work is terrible, in my opinion. You know, I'm not trying to downgrade her, but I just think if it's not up to par, nor near the level of some of the women in that division on SmackDown Live or Raw, she's like the greenest of them all with all the time she spent, and this is the end result of what she does in the ring, in-ring work. But at the end of the day, her character, her persona is enough for her to get over, and so for there, that's why I agree with it. So despite the fact that people are like, how could you give it to Carmella? She doesn't deserve. Well, this is the reason why. She can't do it from bell to bell, so you give her this, and her character gets even more egocentric, and it works for her character. So, like, for people who come up to me and told me, ah, oh, she's a terrible, she's not even a good in-ring worker, how she get the Money in the Bank briefcase, it's because she's a good character. That's why.
And
she
here's the deal again, too, is, like, again, the fans are complaining, or they're saying who deserves and who doesn't. I mean, who do you want to give it to? You want to give it to Becky Lynch, who's better when she's chasing?
Yeah.
Charlotte, who I think has been mismanaged the whole time she's been on SmackDown. We don't know what she is. Do you want to see her win another title reign or have Money in the Bank? To me, like you said, it's an opportunity. Go with it. Her promo skills have been good. Who else do I think of when you talk about promo skills that eventually the good in-ring work caught up with? Oh, Alexa Bliss. So I think that's a perfect instance where they're trying to go with the Alexa Bliss factor where, you know, yeah, her promos were getting a little bit better than she was in the ring, and now I think they're, you know, she's become good, and, you know, it's not like one's better than the other. So I think that that's what they're going to try to do with Carmella.
Yeah, I mean, I don't like comparing Carmella and Alexa too much because I think they're two completely different athletes, but yeah, you could make that comparison if you wanted to.
Okay, thank you. And then all of a sudden, then we're talking about the debut of Mike and Maria Kanellis.
Yes, the much anticipated or surprising debut of
the greatest love of all,
Mike Bennett. Oh, I'm sorry, Mike Kanellis.
So a lot of people are iffy so-so on the debut of these two. They had signed for a while ago since WrestleMania, but they were just trying to find out the exact kind of way they wanted to bring them in. They were spotted in St. Louis in the airport, and man, they made an impact because they got people talking. No, yeah, pun intended on impact.
They got them talking, Jeff. They got them talking, but here's the thing for me, and I'll keep it simple and short, which I really do.
This I got
great see. Impact, great beginning, surprise. Promo ultimately was a disaster. And so for me, as much as we're going to be talking about it as the weeks lead up till we find out exactly what they're about, because we don't know that yet. To me, they had a great opportunity, especially Maria, after being away for so long, to knock it out of the park, and they failed miserably, both of them.
I don't see it that way. Okay. I think they got us talking, which is, I think, what at the end of the day they wanted to do, what they specifically are there for.
But what are we talking about, though?
Well, I mean, you could say that we're talking about their theme song. But still, though, okay. I'm intrigued to give it another
week. That's fair enough. Yeah, we can talk about the theme song. It's a great theme song.
It is. And I do like it. I predict by midsummer, late summer, this will overtake Glorious, and it'll overtake Rising Sun by Shinsuke Nakamura. Hmm. So it's already in my head. But I'm willing to see where it goes as far as, you know, what exactly. We all know Mike Kanellis is going to be whooped. He's already taken her last name. But we will see just exactly what they are going to do. So I'm willing to give it, you know, some time and see where this goes, especially Maria. Oh, Maria.
Oh, Maria.
Oh,
you know,
Maria.
I bet you.
Dance there from Carl Anderson. Oh,
Carl Anderson
Maria.
Was happy that she was back, but on the wrong brand, basically. I don't know. I'm interested to see Mike Kanellis in the ring. Do you think we see Maria back in the ring?
No, I think right now they're just going to have her be, you know, the
I'm not trying to jump too far ahead. But she's going to be the mouthpiece, but you think eventually we will see her, like, for example, we saw Maryse go back in the ring one
most
more time.
Most likely. Okay. And we're going to get into Raw, too, and talk about, you know, where Maryse factors in, because I think one
yeah,
doesn't...
Yeah, you're upset about that.
I think one doesn't have... has nothing to do with the other, so we'll get to that. But, you know, I guess we have... argue a little bit on the whole debut, but we go to the women's title match between Naomi and Lana, and yes. This to me again,
thank God it was over.
You know, do you want to give Lana any credit for at least? I don't know.
I give Lana
good in that outfit.
Oh yeah, she looked amazing in that outfit. I give her credit, man. She put in an effort. Now people are comparing her to, for example, Eva Marie. And I'm not trying to take a shot here at Eva Marie, but those are apples and oranges. That's night and day. She has the enthusiasm. You can definitely tell she's trying Lana when she was in the ring with Naomi. But again, you know, as much as, you know, we could bash Lana right now for her performance, you know, I like to give some of this blame here to Naomi, too. Now, here's the thing. When you're the champion, Jeff, your job as champion, if you're the face of a division or the company, right, your job is that you're supposed to put butts in the seats. People are paying to see you. And you, the responsibility you have as a champion is to make everyone else that you're in the ring with look better.
I think she tried the best she could.
She tried the best she could. But here's the thing. If she couldn't do it with Charlotte, who's supposed to be one of the best wrestlers right now in the WWE, then there's something wrong there. And the whole glow thing, do you feel the glow? And here's the thing. With a girl like Naomi, I think the babyface aspect of her character is, to me, very... it's fabricated. It's not authentic. She is a natural heel. When she turned heel, it was more natural. It became more of a more believable that I could understand that this is Naomi and she's scorned and she's bitter. With Lana, I think it's a work in progress. I don't think she's going to be any great wrestler anytime soon, but at the same time, everybody chants we want Lana, so she has connected with the crowd some way, similar to how you spoke about Carmella and Alexa Bliss being similar. I would say Carmella and Lana are pretty much on the same page. Carmella a little bit more advanced than Lana, but you know their characters allow them to be put in this position, so ultimately, kudos to Lana, good effort, but match was very subpar.
I do give credit, though, to the writers for SmackDown that they do give the women... it's not just a one storyline that they put all women in there. They at least have two different storylines to get involved. So I think that's a good positive for the women's SmackDown division. That's not just, okay, all the women are going for the Money in the Bank, but what does Naomi do for now? You know, now she has at least Lana gets in the ring. So at least give them kudos for that there's more than one storyline for the females on SmackDown. We're going to get to the tag team title match, and last week I was dumb enough to say that this might steal the show. This was one of the biggest disappointments of the match because the ending is just leaves you going, really? I mean, come on. We're paying our money there for five matches, by the way. I know Money in the Bank highlights
We're paying $9.99.
Yeah, and you know what the number is.
Yeah.
Don't act like you don't know. I don't know if you know where that's from, but...
No, I know. It's okay, so, but the audience there, they're paying good money for those seats.
And they get them just walking away, man, and getting counted out.
I mean, match-wise, it was good. A lot of
Kofi took a lot
situations
of bumps.
Where, you know, you thought the match was over and, you know, kind of had you at the edge of your seat. So, yeah, it lived up to its purpose, but the end result, which everybody complains about, and we're not trying to, you know, moan and complain here, but basically it's like if you have that importance of trying to give prestige to the tag team division... and you end it on that note, it kind of just sours the entire match.
Yeah, man. Usos and you know, the New Day sold itself. You didn't need to do this. You could have done something else. I just thought that the ending for just to be counted out kind of leaves everybody going, really?
You know what I thought? It was more of trying to stay face for both teams. You know, the Usos have had a lot of momentum of kind of establishing their dominance on SmackDown Live. We've seen how dominant the New Day have been. So I think neither one losing kind of made them save credibility, save face. So if you're doing it for that reason, you know, if the New Day had lost, it wouldn't have hurt them. I thought would have hurt more the Usos, but in this case, it's a wash, basically.
Yeah, very disappointing, though, because I had more expectations than that, especially last week, me calling this one a matchup that could steal the show. A matchup that I know didn't steal the show was Randy Orton and Jinder Mahal for the WWE title. I don't know. I don't want to stay too long on this one, but the fact that this feud is going to continue and it carried over into SmackDown, I don't know. I'm still going to give Jinder a chance, but Randy Orton, to me, I'm going to be the one that says it. I think from when he comes in to the ring, when you hear the music, when you see him, when you see, wow, this guy is the definition of what a wrestler should look like. By the time he gets in the ring and he goes up on the turnbuckles and he does the thing with his arms, I think that's all you get with Randy Orton. I honestly, there'll be a few matches that I'll, you know, watch, but I have no interest in this feud. And, you know, let's just hope that when this is over and maybe John Cena comes back, the free agent to be, comes back, maybe he challenges Jinder for the title, and maybe we'll see a better feud. But this feud, to me, is just falling flat. It's just the matches, the way it's been booked, and I think both guys got to take a little bit of responsibility for exactly this feud falling flat.
So many avenues you can go in this one, Jeff. The quality of the matches, to me, were mediocre. This has been the biggest gripe for Randy Orton, basically, is when he has been a champion or he has been put in the main storyline. It really depends on who he's in there with. You would think a bona fide Hall of Famer, a guy like Triple H, when they had that intense rivalry for the WWE Championship, to me, that was such a disappointment in that match for WrestleMania. And then Randy Orton now looks like he'll have a third chance to get the title, but the storyline has just been so boring. I'm not invested in it. They try to humanize Randy Orton more because now his father's there, and they're making it personal because, you know, Jinder and the Sin brothers tried to attack Bob Orton. Last I remember, Bob Orton was a hated villain. People hated Bob Orton. And now you're going to feel sympathy because, oh, it's Randy Orton's father. I mean, Randy Orton is not John Cena. Now if you see John Cena's father there and they're trying to attack John Cena's father, oh, yes, because it's John Cena. Randy Orton is not that type of character. So when you give him feelings and you give him moments to be vulnerable, it doesn't work for his character. So it has been a disappointment. This has been the biggest gripe for a guy like Randy Orton. You know, he had the opportunity with Bray Wyatt. That ride really didn't work. He had one match with AJ Styles, and I thought, wow, you have money in that one. Please give that to me. They still haven't given it to me right now, and they're both babyfaces on the roster. And now with Jinder, you know, I'm not going to hinder on Jinder yet. Like you said, I'm probably going to give him some time because I don't ever want to rush into feeling negative about something. But, you know, Jinder's leash is getting pretty short. And he has to really, he's talking about every day I'm improving the ring when he's on talking smack. Well, I'm sorry, Jinder, you're the WWE champion. You're going to have to improve a lot more than what you're giving us right now because, hey, you have a nice entrance, great look, great body, but when it's in the ring, there's nothing there. But again, there's nothing there for me, basically.
All right, so now what I think saved the whole night was the men's Money in the Bank ladder match.
Yes.
We're not surprised by the outcome. I think we all kind of need the signs that the signs pointed to Baron Corbin. So let's give him his due. I think he was okay. I think he's making improvements. I think, obviously, he has his persona down. I think he knows who he wants to be.
He knows who he is. Heel.
Yeah. So, you know, I think he'll progress more in the ring.
Does the crowd care who he is?
I think there's an upside. I think the crowd, whether you can't wrestle or whether they make fun of the hairline or the abs, I think that they're invested to taunting him. So I think that there's an upside to Baron Corbin. And listen, WWE sees it, you know, or else they wouldn't, you know, give him
the money in the bank.
And most likely he'll be a WWE champion this year when he catches that in. A lot of questions are whether it'll be against Jinder. We wonder, they kind of teased that on the after show for Money in the Bank. They tease it on SmackDown, so we'll see what happens there. But they want to plant the seed that anytime Baron Corbin could cash in the Money in the Bank. So we got the tease of Nakamura and AJ Styles.
The seed I wanted to talk about that was planted.
Kevin Owens took some crazy bumps. Sami Zayn with Sami Zayn. I mean,
how bad do you must feel for a guy like Sami Zayn? The look on his face when the camera panned.
There should be a payoff. And I love that, though, because everyone uses that as a meme for the reaction to Baron Corbin becoming the Mr. Money in the Bank.
Yeah, whether he knew the camera's on him, I have no idea. But what a miserable reaction. And you feel bad for the guy. You know, maybe he has to put the mask back on and become El Generico again. Because Sami Zayn right now in the main roster, he is not doing very well. Maybe he needs to go back to his NXT days.
Maybe there'll be a payoff. Well, you want to ship him to NXT?
No, maybe he needs to be revamped. Like if he was going back, like during the NXT days when he was the hot commodity, people knew who he was from you know his past as El Generico. Maybe that revamped Sami Zayn in some way. But yeah, the whole anticipation now of the possibility of Shinsuke Nakamura and AJ Styles, we saw it. Them setting up the ladder, looking at each other, and the crowd going crazy because they knew how much these two talented superstars can. Let me steal a phrase from Pro Wrestling Magic and create magic in the ring. I'm excited for that.
Can we see it sooner than later?
I think when you heard from AJ Styles during Talking Smack, he is definitely anticipating sooner than later. I would love to wait till SummerSlam, but who knows if it'll last.
Oh, no. See, that. I was talking SummerSlam and then later being WrestleMania.
No, I said it might be sooner than that. Like, you like to hope it's SummerSlam because that's the main show you want.
That's what I'm talking about. Sooner being SummerSlam, later being WrestleMania. That's what I thought you knew that I was talking about.
Well, I can't assume. I don't know what goes on the head of yours, Jeff. To me, it's a WrestleMania match. But yeah, SummerSlam is the WrestleMania of the summer. So why not?
I would give Money in the Bank. I was looking forward to it. But then at the end of the day, I was like, man, I could just cut it the next day. It's really something that, man, it was maybe two matches that I wanted to see. But
this is the first time that I can remember in there have been other SmackDown pay-per-views that haven't been
great. We watched the whole thing.
Definitely a downer, in terms of I'd give it a C+.
It's too many pay-per-views. Too many pay-per-views. And now we head to Great Balls of Fire. WWE Raw will present that. It's going to be Brock Lesnar and Samoa Joe. And now we're going to get into Monday Night Raw because what I saw was amazing promo that I wanted to see freaking Brock Lesnar, Samoa Joe right now. That's how good that promo was. And it, kind of is building up. We know the outcome, but it's a prize fight. It's one of the fights you're like, whoa, I have to see this. Whether I'm a wrestling fan or not, I need to see Samoa Joe and Brock.
Yeah, it definitely has that big match feel to it. Similar like we were talking about McGregor and Mayweather. You have that feeling that you need to watch this regardless if you know what the outcome is going to be. That being said, in wrestling, you never know what could happen. Just like in a fight, you never know what could happen. So it definitely has that build-up. For me, as much as I love Paul Heyman and Samoa Joe interacting, I could see a little less of Brock Lesnar. I think that's what they're trying to do now, which they should have done in the beginning, in my opinion.
See, I love it when Brock... I mean, we have seen less of Lesnar already. You've only seen him one time in live person.
Yeah, but
I love those sit-downs. I love those sit-downs where he just is badass and just curses the whole time.
Yeah, because that's him. That's the true sense of who Brock Lesnar is. Definitely looking forward to this. I don't know if this, though, Jeff, will help elevate the Universal title any further. I think for the Universal title, I honestly am not looking at it as a championship match. I'm just looking at it as a match between two tremendous athletes. So how this helps Universal title, I have no idea. It being most likely a one-off. It leaves me intrigued to see how they're going to really set this up because, again, Samoa Joe has done such a great job since coming to the main roster, not even coming to the main roster, since being in NXT, of really being that monster, that destroyer that he is. I would hate to see that damaged in a way.
So we find out, too, that Roman Reigns now will challenge
the winner.
Who cares
what Roman Reigns thinks?
We asked about Roman Reigns because everyone's actually kind of giving him a pat on the back because they think he's the reason why the ratings went up. How about this WWE? Maybe how about no NHL finals and no NBA finals? Maybe that's why you're kind of an upswing. But, not to leave, not to take anything away from Roman Reigns. But he did come out and make his huge SummerSlam announcement that he will face the winner of Brock and Samoa Joe from Great Balls of Fire, and he will challenge them for the Universal title. So here's the thing. We know that Brock Lesnar is 99.9% walking out of Great Balls of Fire, the WWE champion. We thought that they wanted this matchup between Brock and Roman Reigns for WrestleMania. So could you see a scenario where Brock Lesnar beats Roman Reigns at SummerSlam and we see this rematch at WrestleMania? Or do you think they've scrapped the whole idea of Brock and Roman Reigns at Mania?
I don't think we've seen, we're going to see that match at SummerSlam as much as Roman Reigns has promoted it, talking about how this is his yard and he makes the rules. Okay, whatever. Especially with that smug look on his face, which, it's a typical heel, and you're like, why don't you just be heel now? Because I could have seen that better. He's a babyface. But, we're missing that one key factor, Jeff, Braun Strowman. And as Braun Strowman said, as he came back in the ambulance,
Braun!
At Great Balls of Fire, he's going to be facing Roman Reigns in an ambulance match. So who says Roman Reigns comes out of this unscathed? A lot of people have been looking at Braun Strowman and Brock Lesnar at SummerSlam to see what happens there. So, to me, it's not a clear indication that Roman Reigns will be fighting the champion at the end of this pay-per-view.
I think WWE has a problem, too, with Braun Strowman. I think that the fans love him.
Yeah.
I think that he's a face. I really
He's gotten
do.
Over so well.
I really do. I think he's a face.
Yeah. I mean, no matter what sinister thing he does, Jeff, he gets cheered
for
it.
They love it.
I mean, for God's sake, you put a guy and you throw him off a stretcher and you tip him over in an ambulance and people are chanting. Now, what do you think it is, Jeff? Their love for Braun Strowman or their hatred for Roman Reigns?
A little bit of both.
Okay. So if this was anybody else he was in the ring with other than Roman Reigns,
I think anybody
would the cheers not
Roman.
Be as loud?
I think anybody that tosses around Roman Reigns are going to get cheered.
Okay.
But I think that they've made...
But if it was him and Brock Lesnar, would he get those cheers?
Ooh, that's a good question. That's a really good question.
Because we had fans chanting, this is awesome, when Brock Lesnar and Braun Strowman had that stare down.
Yeah.
And Braun Strowman, unscripted, took that finger and shoved Brock Lesnar. Yeah. So... I think it's more over than people think. A lot of people have been telling me, it's because everybody hates Roman Reigns. So you put Roman Reigns with anybody. You put him in with the cleaning guy. The cleaning guy's
gonna get
more cheers.
They've actually done a good job with Braun Strowman and booking him. I think they've done a good job. I think that's one that they've done too well, because now the fans like him. He came out of that ambulance. The fans were going nuts. They're going crazy. Braun was back. I think that they've done too good a job of booking Braun, and I think that the WWE, you put him in Roman Reigns, and now he's a lightning rod. He's going to get the negative energy. And now what they've done, and I think WWE, whether they notice or not, this week, Braun is going to be the face. Braun is a face. Now, he's going to be a face when he takes on Brock, and I think Brock is a face when he takes on Roman. So that's going to be very interesting. And then Samoa Joe gets the victory over Roman Reigns, albeit through distraction, but were you surprised at all that Samoa Joe actually beat Roman Reigns via Coquina Clutch on Monday night?
Yeah, I'm very surprised. But again, when I looked at it, it made smart business sense. As hard as it was for them, probably say, okay, Roman Reigns is going to lose. Oh, my God, I can't believe this. All right. It has to make sense because Samoa Joe has to look strong going into Great Balls of Fire to go up against Brock Lesnar. If he were to lose to Roman Reigns, it would have completely soured everybody as the anticipation grew more and more for this main event match. So, you know, a loss doesn't hurt Roman Reigns. Again, the thing that annoys me is, of course, it's not a clean victory. As people say, he was distracted. That's why he lost. Again, that's what you have to do. That's why the greats like John Cena and Roman Reigns now, who is going to be considered to be in that echelon of like a John Cena-esque type person, they need to lose that way in order for them not to lose any credibility. Heaven forbid somebody lost clean. Does that really hurt them? Especially the way they've been pushing Roman Reigns. A clean loss is going to hurt them. But again, that's the way they want to do it. Right decision move, right business sense. And right now, Roman Reigns has to look forward to Braun Strowman.
Something that makes no sense to me is because of a potential Maria Kanellis and Mike Kanellis being the power couple in SmackDown, they feel that there can only be one power couple in all of WWE, which makes no sense. And now there's a chance that Maurice is written off on Raw with The Miz, so that The Miz has his own entourage with Curtis Axel and Bo Dallas. This makes absolutely no sense to me. Good for Bo Dallas, good for Curtis Axel that they're actually going to be on TV, but here's my thoughts. I think Bo Dallas has that look right now, especially with the beard and the long hair now that he's showing. He definitely should be in an angle with his brother Bray, and they should be a Wyatt family, a legit Wyatt family. So I think that's the case. Curtis Axel, you know, it's good that he's finally there. It's funny when he tweeted out that how does his grandfather get booked for Money in the Bank and he can't get booked for any pay-per-view, which was funny. But good for him. But I just don't like the idea that we can't have two power couples. What, are we stupid? We can't have more than one. And then also, it leads to a great potential match between Ms. Maurice against Kanellis and Kanellis, which I think would be smart if you go maybe towards WrestleMania, you have a match like that. To me, writing off Maurice makes no sense.
I mean, basically, since Maurice has been the anchor for Miz's character revamp and all the success he's had of not only, you know, that sort of promo he did on Daniel Bryan, but him getting some type of confidence back. He loves working with his wife. He's made that perfectly known, whether it's in character or out of character. He loves working with his wife. Now, I don't know how much of it's behind the fact that Maria Kanellis and Mike Bennett are part of SmackDown. Fair point. But again, if that was the reason, that's pretty petty. It's pretty stupid, like you said.
Makes no sense.
I think there's something more behind it. I think right now what's happening, I think, is we're trying to show that there could be some separation till ultimately the payoff comes where Maurice costing Ambrose an opportunity at the Intercontinental title, and then everything's back hunky-dory. Miz has his wife, and now he has his entourage. So he has best of both worlds.
Well, we will definitely see that. It's a great way of thinking things out, but I think it would just definitely be a travesty if Maryse gets written off, so we'll see what happens.
Maybe
then
she wants to settle down and have a family. Who knows?
She did talk about on Table for Three, so which honestly was probably one of the worst Table of Threes that I've seen in my life.
Yes, it was.
Oh, man. That, oh, wow. We have a Table of Three, the Moody Barber, and I think it would be better one than that was. That was
a couple hours.
Yeah. Anyways, Enzo and Cass. This one kind of was a little bit upsetting, you know, to the, you know, Enzo and Cass fans. But finally, Big Cass had enough. We found out who was behind all the attacks, and it was the man, the myth, the legend himself, Big Cass.
Raising my hand, I called it.
And, you know, there you go. No more. And listen, all I got to say is, feel bad for Enzo. I'm pretty sure he killed both of those guys because they really are like brothers outside the ring. But you have to do it because, honestly, everything Big Cass said is the truth. And the thing is, too, how much of the booking, how much of the writers and creative in that speech, how much of it was real? How much is that maybe the resounding effect from the locker room towards Enzo in everything that Cass kind of like, you know, just yelled at Enzo with? He really threw a lot of stuff at him.
Oh, yeah, and there's no doubt in my mind it was a shoot in terms of what Cass was meant to say was a directly attacking Enzo. For the mere fact that we know the rumors out there, and you know, if you don't, guys don't know it, then you guys haven't been paying attention, that he doesn't have the best reputation, Enzo, in the locker room. A lot of people don't like him, didn't like his attitude, and not just in terms of character, but you know, we've seen this build up for a while, Jeff. At least I've seen it to the point where, you know, the first indication of this was when Enzo had gotten injured, when Cass and Enzo first got called up. He got injured really quickly. He was out with a concussion for like 3 or 4 weeks. And then Cass was basically pitted in singles competition to kind of test the waters to see if Cass could be a viable singles competitor.
Yeah, and what did we say? He was like, Enzo, you better hurry up. You better hurry up because...
Well, not just that. Not even hurry up. His clock was already winding down as soon as that happened.
Well,
because his best scenario was to be with Cass for as long as he possibly could.
But we were saying, listen, you better get back soon, because even if you got to like say, hey, I'm feeling better, I'm not, you could tell that the money was in Big Cass. So, listen, I still think Enzo could have a future on 205 Live. I think that's where he should go. I think he'd really add some good, you know, chemistry there. I think they'll have a matchup at Great Balls of Fire with a Big Cass, but I also see his future being 205 Live. Now, for all the McGregor tweets that Enzo's been doing, I really believe a lot of people have been saying, yeah, well, if Conor McGregor goes to Raw or SmackDown, most likely Raw, who exactly could he face? They're all going to be bigger than him. He's not going to take on Sheamus. He's not going to take on any guys like that. Maybe Finn Balor, maybe a guy like that. But if I were going to say, you want to talk about two trash talkers, I would definitely like to see Enzo and Conor McGregor go at it, because I think that would be believable, and I think that the promos for that would be awesome.
I think so too. I agree with you there, but it's kind of sad considering the fact that we need Conor McGregor to pit against a guy like Enzo Amore to make it substantial, to make it viable.
Why do you think it's sorry?
I feel sorry just for the fact that Enzo right now can't really work with anybody else except going down to 205 Live, and the only other option he has on the main roster is go up against Conor McGregor. So it doesn't speak very highly of a guy like Enzo Amore.
I'm telling his stock, well, I mean, it should, because if they pick Enzo Amore to take on a guy like Conor McGregor, I think that means they have faith that his promo skills are going to be right up there, that he can...
You can have faith on somebody's promo skills, but if that's the only viable option, then, all right, once it's done and the payoff's over, where do you go from there?
Back to 205 Live, and you have a huge reputation. Look what Neville's done with 205 Live. He's resurrected his career. So I fully believe that Enzo could have a niche on that show.
Okay. Well, Neville resurrected his career, not on a money fight. He resurrected his career on his talent in the ring, and his ability now to be able to speak and talk and speak his mind. So Enzo's been, you know, Enzo is quote unquote. I will never argue with Enzo. He is a great talker, one of the best right now on the mic, maybe second to John Cena when he has the microphone. But when it's in the ring, I'm sorry, he doesn't do it for me. And in terms of
a lot of guys don't do it for you.
Yeah, granted, they shouldn't.
But I mean, Raw, I think, kind of rebounded a little bit this week. I think it was a little bit better. I think that.
Well, like we spoke about segment, Money in the Bank, the final match saved Money in the Bank, yeah, or at least helped not leave a sour taste in your mouth. I think the final segment that we talked about, Enzo and Big Cass, and kudos to Big Cass, I think his stock is rising tremendously. He definitely has that look about him. That final segment of Raw was definitely the A+, the thumbs up for me.
And another show that actually got rebounded in the ratings was SmackDown, and it was because basically I think one of the reasons is Daniel Bryan returned. You know, congratulations, Daniel Bryan, after having having a daughter with Brie Bella. Congratulations for Birdie, and congratulations, happy belated Father's Day, Daniel Bryan. He returns and he makes an impact. He comes back and strips Carmella of the Money in the Bank briefcase. So now we're going to do it all over again. And now we're talking about the negative. I think that to the fan that actually was there to watch the first match, and to the fan that was like, okay, she's got heat. How can you add more heat onto Carmella, which I think she's going to win, by the way. But again, how do you add more heat to Carmella already? Like, and now with Ellsworth being banned, you know, do you think it makes sense to do this?
No. I don't think it makes sense to do this. I think you should have just kept things the way they are. By doing this, you're just... How can I phrase this? You're basically telling the fan that paid good money to go see a pay-per-view event that, you know what, we're just doing this as a test, and now we're actually going to put it on our main
show. It's part
of
an angle.
So it's part of an angle here. But ultimately, if I had to choose that, I probably want them to do it again as well. I wouldn't want to. But again, it's kind of like a reset button, basically. If you're playing a video game, you hit that reset button. Let's start all over again, because the first one wasn't that good to begin with.
The saddest part, though, is that it looks more like they're redoing the match because of public outcry due to a male bringing down that briefcase, handing it over to a female, yeah, more than it is Carmella having cheated her way to win the Money in the Bank. So
I feel that way, too.
So I think it's more of public outcry. But we'll find out next week, though, on SmackDown, the do-over of the Women's Money in the Bank match. So forget about what happened last Sunday, and now everything that's important is next week. So we'll find out. And Ellsworth is banned, so we'll see how Carmella recaptures that title, recaptures the Money in the Bank, because I think she's going to win it again.
Yeah, me too. I think the way they're setting it up, it's for Carmella to reclaim the briefcase again.
AJ Styles has his eyes set on the U.S. Championship. I'm all for it. I would love to see him do it. I guess he said on Talking Smack that it's because he's American and he would love to represent the U.S. title. But I think, man, honestly, I think how could AJ Styles be lost in the WWE title picture, man? He needs to be in there somehow. I don't want to insult the U.S. title. I think he'd make a great U.S. champion. I would love to see Kevin Owens and AJ Styles fight forever. But I just think, honestly, man, come on. AJ Styles deserves to be in the WWE title picture.
I agree, too, but it's the way that writing creative think about it right now. I mean, they are so set on Jinder Mahal, and they're so set on Randy Orton, that rivalry carrying SmackDown Live for the next couple weeks or maybe into the next pay-per-view. I don't agree with it, but at the same time, as much as we complain the fact that AJ's not in the WWE title picture, at least he's in some title picture. So we both know that him and Kevin Owens are going to work well together. And who knows? You know, honestly, for me at least, Jeff, I can't really speak for myself, though, this U.S. title rivalry going on between Kevin Owens and AJ Styles has me more into this title and making it more important than the WWE Championship.
Thank God. Thank God for this rivalry. True, yeah, right? Thank God. So hopefully we'll see it sooner than later that actually AJ Styles and Kevin Owens get in the ring once again for that U.S. title. But it seems we're going to have like more U.S. Open matches that are kind of like, you know, kind of spread this eventual match between both these guys.
They're milking it.
Milking it. So we'll see what happens. But looking forward to AJ Styles and Kevin Owens when they get back into the ring. And basically, Lana gets a rematch against Naomi next week, too. So Lana not only gets an amazing first opportunity for a title, she gets a rematch for the women's title next week. So we'll see if they can have a better match. But I think Naomi's going to come out the winner. I think it's just to, add it to the storyline. But any issues with Lana getting a rematch?
No. I mean, I think, like I said, everything was a test to see for example, the Women's Money in the Bank ladder match. By popular choice, they wanted to redo it because they got so much scrutiny over it. This one, I think they're doing it more because they want to give Lana a legitimate push. And I think by this, being able to showcase her maybe coming close to defeating Naomi, maybe makes it better for Lana.
So, that's kind of recapping your Money in the Bank and then what happened in the world of Raw and SmackDown. But listen, man, this is very important next couple of weeks coming ahead for Cody Rhodes, especially has the opportunity to take on Christopher Daniels for the Ring of Honor World Championship at Best in the World. So it's going to be interesting. Could he be the guy that walks into the G1 Climax against Okada as the Ring of Honor champion and also beat Okada? It's going to be an interesting week, man. What are the chances of him walking out with not one but two titles by next week?
I don't think it's likely, because I think they think so highly of Christopher Daniels that they want to keep him champion for an extended period of time. But I would love to see it.
I'm going
to
say he goes 1-1. I'm going to say he becomes a champion of Ring of Honor, and I think that could set maybe another rematch between him and Christopher Daniels. A fires Okada. I mean, what would it say, man, that Cody Rhodes wins it and not Kenny Omega?
But it would present an interesting dynamic within the Bullet Club.
It would. A lot of tension between the Bullet Club if that were to happen. So yeah. I'm going to say 1-1. Safe bet scenario is he goes 50-50 and walks away with the Ring of Honor title.
I would agree with that.
Of course, G1 Climax is coming up soon, so looking forward to that. It'll be available on Access TV. How about this, dude?
We got
to
get Access TV.
We do. I had it, but, you know, I
yeah.
You know my deal. But but how about this one, dude? And just to end it all on this, dude, Vince Russo and Jim Cornette. Vince Russo actually a restraining order for Jim Cornette. We know this feud between each other. Brian, if you know, you know you're super busy. I know that. And I kind of have more time to listen to the podcast. I listen to the great one. There's a great one with something to wrestle with Conrad and Bruce Pritchard. Vince Russo has his own one, The Brand. I think it's on Podcast One, Jim Cornette Experience. So, I mean, there's like, and Bischoff, his podcast. There's beef between all these guys. And, you know, Bruce Pritchard got into it, you know, this week when he did a whole show on Vince Russo. It was actually 3 hours long. It's crazy. But the thing is, though, if the best way to keep Vince Russo out of the spotlight is to stop talking about him. And I think this has gone way, way, way too far. I mean, this is a point where Jim Cornette actually asked Vince Russo to meet him for a fight. You know, and just, you know, just a bare-fisted fight. And then to make it worse, he said, I'll give you $5,000 to take it from my pocket. So, I mean, yeah. This thing has just gotten out of control. And you know what? Sometimes when wrestling is in a lull, like it was the last few weeks, this is going to make headlines. And this has made headlines for the wrong reasons.
Yeah, but I think with Vince Russo going out there and actually putting a restraining order on Jim Cornette, I mean, seriously, is Vince Russo really concerned that Jim Cornette's going to somehow harass him, trying to meet him in a dark alley somewhere and try to beat him up? I mean, if he does, then, you know, maybe Jim Cornette's a better, you know, promoter than we give him credit for, because he actually makes Vince Russo believe this. I mean, to me, it's like, you're right. If you really want to stop making Vince Russo give him any relevancy, stop talking about him. The mere fact that they keep mentioning him, and he's basically the punching bag. He's basically what, you know, Eric Bischoff and Bruce Pritchard and Jim Cornette love to, like, yeah, we can always make fun of Vince Russo, and we all can have a good laugh. But at the same time, it's like, what's the point? You're just giving him free promotion. And if you're Vince Russo, for the mere fact that, yeah, you're giving him ammo. But at the same time, if you're Vince Russo, you should be thankful. Don't set up a restraining order. Have your front door open. Do like Eric Bischoff said. Invite him. Because that's just going to be more promotion for you. And, you know, for me, for him to do that, it's kind of silly.
I mean, it is crazy too, man. I really don't understand it. I think, you know, just drop it and let this and they'll be all, because you don't want to see people in their mid-50s going at it, and, you know, it just makes no sense. It's funny, some of the things you hear, but again, too, it's sad. I mean, just let this go. I mean, it's not worth it, let's be honest. All these guys really,
some people have a hard time to let things go, Jeff.
It's not worth it. And maybe one day we'll talk about the Attitude Era and how who contributed the most and stuff like that. But
the thing guys, is, everybody like has their side of the story. Eric Bischoff has his side. Jim Cornette has his side. Bruce Pritchard, Vince Russo, any other booker back then has their side of the story of who really contributed, who didn't. Ultimately, it was Vince McMahon, not Vince Russo, blah, blah, blah. Regardless how much time goes by, Jeff, whether they want to forgive or forget, they're always going to be bitter about this.
But out of all the stories that we've talked about on the show, this has got to be like the weirdest one to even bring up, to a restraining order that Vince Russo actually put on Jim Cornette. That's amazing. And before we end the show, too, we just want to send our condolences to Chandler Biggins, corner of Absolute Insane Wrestling, AIW. Now, we've never met him. I don't think, honestly, we've actually really paid attention to that organization. It's based out of Cleveland, Ohio. But you know what? He was corner of the promotion, passed away at an early age from a, you know, just unfortunate bacterial infection, I think. And listen, a lot of the wrestling guys, a lot of the independents, he was loved and beloved. And again, when you lose someone that age and, you know, who's full of life and is in with the wrestlers and is by all means one of the nicest guys in the whole wrestling business, it's sad. And at his age, you know, to die in mid-30s, man, it just shows you life is short. And, you know, live for the moment. And our condolences go out to Chandler Biggins and his family. I mean, you saw Kevin Owens post something. Also to Johnny Gargano posted stuff. So, I mean, very sad news. And again, we've never met him. We don't know the promotion, But, you know, you see he was a great person. And, you know, just to die that early age and just unfortunate. And our thoughts and prayers go out to his family. You've been listening to the High Spot Podcast. Follow us on Twitter at High Spot Podcast and also on the Facebook page, on Instagram, and on Snapchat. And, of course, you can also follow us on NXT Weekly. It's our show for the fans podcast. Man, so much to talk about on the road to great balls of fire, Bri. We're on that road. Get on there and get on those balls, man, because we're on the road to great balls of fire.
Well, Jeff, you know about balls. And after listening to this episode, guys, we thank you so much for supporting us. And we can't wait for next week, because next week's episode, just like this one, is going to be just
too sweet. This is the greatest, greatest love of all.